Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids. But the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there.
Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
So this is our first time recording since our first episodes came out.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember recording at least 3 other episodes.
I must have been so drunk.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
All those cosmos.
And it's been really fun hearing from people.
It has.
And we're mostly hearing from people that we know, obviously.
Right.
But
because we don't give our phone numbers out on the podcast.
I just hand mine out everywhere that I go. But yeah, so for those that, you know, don't have our phone number to text us and say, I guess what I'd like to say is thanks for listening.
We'd love that. Wait, rewind. I don't know what I just said.
But also, if you are listening to the podcast and you're enjoying it, tell people. And the best way to tell people really is through sharing on social media. So like, if you can like us on Facebook and then share an episode so that your friends can see that you're listening, that's really helpful.
On Twitter, we are at WCHBW Podcast.
We're on Instagram, like I said, Facebook. Check us out and share. And then if you have a minute, go on to Apple Podcasts and rate us and write a little review. That would be amazing. I don't think we have any reviews. It'd be really fun to get our first review.
Yeah, it would be really fun. I haven't told my mom how to do that yet, or else we would have at least 10 reviews. And my mother also refers to everything as Google. So she's like, I put your podcast on Google. I listened in Google. I don't know. She's not listening in Google. She's like just going to the website and listening it.
Just the internet in general is,
yeah,
Google. Well, then,
yeah,
Google has won at least one person over.
Yeah, my mother. And she does. I don't even know if she knows what Google is, actually. She also asked if she could listen to this on the radio.
Well, we are on Apple, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher. I know there are other places that we can probably be, but, you know, we're just getting started.
We're just getting, and we are some places that I didn't know we would be. That sounds weird. We are, like, there's other places that we're on as well that are not as, oops. I don't know. Just cut this out.
Right.
I don't know what I'm saying.
So today we're going to be getting into season 1, episode 4, Valley of the 20-something Guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a labored Valley of the Dolls reference there.
Right.
But, you know.
They
were going for it. This originally aired June 28th, 1998, directed by Allison McLean, who directed episode 2 as well, and written by Michael Patrick King, who is officially taking the reins of this show.
Ooh.
I will say, first of all, I love this episode.
I had fun.
Yeah, I have so many notes. We're going to see how quickly we can get through this.
Yeah.
I just kept writing things down.
Me too.
Super fun.
I had a fun time like watching it, but I also, this was the one where I was finding a lot of like quotes that I'm like, oh, that's
so
good
many.
Material.
So here's the thing. It's going to be really rough to just not like quote the entire show.
Right.
So we're, especially as we go forward, I feel like that is sort of what Michael Patrick King, I know that when he got his start writing, it was to come in and like make it funny. Not necessarily just on this show, but he'd written for other things before this. And it was like, come in and be funny. Like,
well, and that's so important too, because if you can quote a TV show, someone who has seen it now one time, and that's the best marketing you can do, and the best,
yeah,
way to get it to rewatch, and the best way to have, like, I guess at this point there wasn't Facebook statuses, but a lot of away messages on AIM, you know, with Sex and the City quotes.
Yeah, so very, very quotable. Fun fact, this apparently is Sarah Jessica Parker's favorite episode of the show.
Shout out to SJP.
And it's a great episode.
It really is.
So I don't even exactly know where to start. I feel like so much happens very, very quickly.
Well, they start with her talking about how she keeps running into Big.
Exactly.
Once upon a time, a certain man and a slightly less certain woman kept bumping into one another.
And at what moment are they actually going to, like, set up a date?
Right. They keep randomly meeting each other. I will say one of the random meetups is the bar scene from the last episode.
Right.
So they've kind of, like, taken that out and added that into their random meetups.
And the first thing that just kind of struck me was that the Briss was really what got him.
Is that a social occasion? I've never personally been to a Briss before.
I haven't either. And, yeah, it was just, like, interesting to me that that was the one. You know?
And if you go back and watch that scene, it happens really fast. I'm sort of fascinated by background players. Mm. I tend to notice really weird. But on the far right side of the screen, there's a woman who's very concerned.
Okay.
That's all. So maybe we'll like, gif that on Instagram it or something like that. Because there's woman to the right who's very, like, very concerned about everything that's happening.
About Carrie and Big?
It feels like a little bit of both.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe she's thinking, like, this isn't about you. you know, like... this woman is in inappropriate shoes is really ruining this moment for the family. No, yeah. So that made me kind of like,
is that what it takes?
Take pause.
Is that why we're single?
Yeah, is that why I'm
we don't attend nearly enough
Briss.
It was the Brie. Plural of Briss. Brizzes. Breeze.
Briss.
I don't know.
I don't know.
What is the plural? Someone let us know.
And also the Big Three for Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. So then we meet Brian, played by Josh Stamberg.
Charlotte had a new boyfriend. He had her Big Three. Looks, manners, money.
Who I love.
What else has he been in?
He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I think that what I think of, right, for some reason, what pops in is he was in Parenthood, and he played a love interest to Lauren Graham.
Yes.
And I really wanted those two to work it out, but it's fine. Spoiler, they might have.
Thank you. Some of us haven't seen Parenthood.
Oh, so good. So good. Watch
Shout out to Cousin Jenna, who named her baby Crosby.
Okay. Was that based on Parenthood, or it just sort of happened?
I don't know. Jenna?
Okay.
Ask.
yeah, Brian. So what are the three?
So the three for Brian are looks, manners, and money.
That's not a bad combination.
I don't know. I mean... I don't need manners.
You have to have some manners.
No.
Well, we will eventually get into how mannered he actually is.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, what are your big three? I don't know.
What are your big three?
I had to think. I mean, I guess looks, but you don't have to be, like, gorge. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have money, because I don't have money. I don't know.
We're really determining what your big three aren't.
Yeah. Let me get back to, by the end of the episode, maybe I'll know what my big three are.
Yeah.
Ford, GM, and Chrysler. I'm from Detroit. Those were literally
the big three.
The big three. Yeah.
So we meet Brian, who's the perfect boyfriend. We also establish that Miranda and Skipper are some kind of a thing, though
right.
She refers to it as.
We're not dating. It's a fuck thing.
We have Big is late.
Oh, yes, because Carrie is checking her messages, which I also think is great. Like, I was thinking in that moment in 2017, in 1998, they had to be really sure of what their day was going to look
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. I think about this
all the time. Biggest one, and I don't know why it gets me, is that whenever New York City Pride happens, I always think, like, could you imagine going to Pride, like all the events and the parade and like going with a group of friends and not having cell phones?
Right.
I don't know why I think of that because...
No, I think of it constantly. I think of it many times a day because I don't plan
And so
anything.
Many people... And it's not like I'm from an age that, you know, I always had a cell phone. I didn't. And
no.
I went to huge events. I guess I'm thinking of that because it usually ends where like people can't find their friends at those events. But
I don't remember that ever being a problem. I feel like you just planned.
Yeah,
like you
planned.
You just knew ahead of time.
And when
you
have a cell phone, it's so easy to just
I'll just
flake
text you
out
on the way.
Or not be on time. Or I'm running late, but it's fine when I'm on the train. I can just lie and say it's slow.
Right. Or I'm running late and I can just tell you that I'm running late rather than 20 minutes of you waiting on that street corner. You're probably going to walk away.
Right.
No, it's so funny to think about that now. But yeah, so Big is late. I also, so because, and then we have the thing of it's not, she's not sure if it's a date thing or a drink thing.
Which, Is that the same thing?
Well, I guess this is my thing with Mr. Big. You're a grown man.
Right.
Don't act. She's not sure if it's a date. I don't know. I feel like it's a little immature.
He should just be like, this is a date. But then if that was the case, they wouldn't have to have an episode about it.
And right. They, you know. No, this is why I could never write for television.
It's like that keeping it on the, are they going to get together? Right. Is it a date or is she going to show up and there's a weird friend there too? That
right.
happens.
Right, okay. Yeah, well,
you know,
get there.
And yeah. And then next we meet.
This is the hottest chef in New York, John. John. J-O-N. No H, no last name. His blue crab strudel was so fabulous he didn't need one.
Are there still events like this? So Samantha's firm is opening this, doing promotion for this new restaurant. And she has a line of like, people are actually crying. Are there, is that?
You do a very good Samantha.
Thank you. You know who does a better one?
Who?
Christina Aguilera. Check it out.
Well, as long as we're on the topic of big announcements, I have something to tell you all. I'm a dude.
Are there few people try to go to restaurant openings and can't get in? Was that a thing? And is it still a thing?
I mean, I'm not someone who goes to like cool places,
right.
I don't know.
We're the wrong people to talk about this, probably.
I think they do have like opening night parties that we're not invited to, obviously, but we will be.
We will be now.
But yeah, I think, but I also feel like that was in the 90s, they had more of those club restaurants.
Sure. And like big, that's another thing about
like the mega club.
Right. And we sort of have that is, we've kind of experienced the death of that in New York City.
Right.
Like there aren't those huge spaces anymore.
No.
Like you think about even like, I don't know, why Splash comes to mind, but it was like that big club.
Right.
And there was like seating and there was a downstairs lounge and it was huge. And mm-hmm. New York doesn't really have those huge spaces anymore, it feels like.
R.I.P. Musical Mondays.
Oh, sad. I was at the very last. I have video of Gravity from the very, very last Musical Mondays.
Did you get on a chair or a table?
I did not. I just videotaped it. That sums me up.
The story of Mike.
So, yeah. So, and then we have like, are we not meeting as a date or a thing? And she's trying to get Miranda to help her.
I have no idea. And I finished first in my litigation class. Do I feel asking you if a guy kind of likes me?
Then we meet Sam, played by Timothy Oliphant. I hope I'm saying his last name right. He's going to go on to do a lot of great stuff. He was on Damages for a season. He's Emmy nominated for a TV series called Justified. He's on a couple episodes of The Office.
All right.
Prompts one of my favorite television moments of all time featuring Mindy Kaling. That's all that I'll say. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. But it's really, really funny.
If you don't, then I guess you're out of the club.
Sam.
And the thing I love about this is they do this quote that's like, always know the very important people, busboys, bouncers, and cute butts. Wait.
Yeah. Well, they know 20-something guys know the right B people.
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
20-something guys always know the really important B people. Busboys, bouncers, plus they have cute butts.
It does pay off to know a bartender.
It does. Oh, yeah. It pays off to know bartenders. I mean, and I have to say, as someone who's not necessarily going to cool places, but someone who's worked in a lot of restaurants, and you can agree to this too, that like when you get to go to some places and you know people because you've worked with them and you get some things on the house.
Yeah, that's fun.
Maybe a free crab strudel.
Maybe a free blue crab strudel.
But then what gets me mad is she kind of like praises him for being able, this is like a waiter moment. She praises him for his tray carrying skills.
Right.
He has two martinis and a beer on there and I think he's holding it with two hands.
Well, I do like that he worked at TGIF. I do like he has some waiting experience.
Yeah, he has some
experience.
Because
everyone should have some waiting experience.
Everyone should have some, and like a chain restaurant is a good place to start.
And as people who have worked at restaurants, we bump up against a drink issue for me, which is a constant drink thing. And I guess that I kind of get it. But Miranda does order a martini.
And they didn't ask her what kind.
Don't. You can't order a martini.
I mean, you could in like 1920 when it was a standard.
Sure.
When it was like a martini and you knew it was going to be like gin and dry vermouth.
Right.
But now there's a whole series of questions.
Whenever someone orders a martini,
you have to say
vodka or gin.
And then you say, up or on the rocks.
And then you say,
Did you want a garnish with that? Olives or
there
twist?
There we go. There are so many steps to ordering a martini. Don't ever just order a martini. That is a little bit.
Mike and I are currently employed, so we can't work for you. I'm sorry.
Here's a really weird little thing that I noticed that doesn't mean anything, but Samantha's wearing like a ring on her wedding finger.
Oh, I didn't notice it. A wedding finger. That's a wedding finger.
But she is. I just think it's interesting. I wonder if any thought went into that.
Coined a new term. A wedding finger. I did not notice that at all. But speaking of rings, Sam has a tongue ring.
Okay, Sam.
Is that a thing?
He doesn't. So in 1998, that probably was a thing. I'm trying to think because I had my tongue. It's not a tongue ring.
Well, okay. A tongue barbell.
I had my tongue pierced at one point. I probably got it pierced in like 97. And it was kind of a thing.
Yeah, no, they were a thing. I know. Like I did not know a girl who did not have her belly button pierced.
Sure.
That was a huge, I don't know if that's still a thing though.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I will say this bothers me less than it did at the time. I think probably because I did have my tongue. Timothy Oliphant clearly does not have his tongue pierced.
Okay.
Like that insert of not Timothy Oliphant, like sticking his tongue out.
Right.
Used to really bother me. I've kind of like let it go a tiny bit. It's just clearly an insert of someone else having their tongue. Not that he needed to get his tongue pierced when he got that role.
Yeah, it was like a mandatory thing. Nudity and tongue piercings.
I did feel bad for Skipper, though. Can we take a moment to feel bad for Skipper?
I'll always feel bad for Skipper. I really, after watching, you know, the first few episodes of this, he's the one that I'm kind of most identifying with. I'm not really a Samantha, Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte.
Because he shows up with rum and coke.
They stopped making martinis, so I got two rum and cokes. Is that okay?
Well, I hate rum, and I hate coke.
I do feel bad for Skipper. So Big shows up.
Well, your message said you weren't coming.
I thought I said I'd try to make it for an hour.
Well, yeah, but then you said that...
What did I say?
Never mind. You're here. You have an hour. Let's have a drink.
Well, I was outside trying to get in for 30 minutes, inside looking for you for 20 minutes, so that leaves me with just enough time to tell you that I'm out of time.
Men in their 40s are like the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle. Tricky, complicated, and you're never really sure you got the right answer.
John says this place is tired. Does John say that or does Sam say it? Someone says this place is tired.
I think John does, which I could be wrong, but I remember thinking that's weird because you're the chef.
Right. Like, this is your restaurant.
Or even if you're Sam, like, you're the chef's best friend.
Right. Also, like, this place is tired. I guess you would say that in your 20s.
And also, opening night at a restaurant, if you're a chef, you're not lounging on a couch.
And you're probably also not leaving.
No, you're downstairs. You're pulling tickets, yelling, you know. All those things.
So they leave the tired restaurant and go to a bar where everyone is in their 20s.
A hot club for 20-something. And I just immediately felt, this is the way I feel when I walk into an American Eagle.
Okay.
Like when you walk in and you're like, I can do this. And then you look around, you're like, I am too old for this place.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I'm going to say the name of this store wrong. Aeropostale. Yes, Aeropostale. Aeropostale that I shopped there long ago. And then it wasn't that recently that I walked in and I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here.
No. How did you get here?
Yeah.
And then they're getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
And whenever I see people, this is just something I realized when watching this. Whenever I see people getting up in the morning on TV, I feel like I'm doing it wrong. Because they're always in a room that has well lit windows and just their beds are made. I don't know. It just looks so much better.
It always looks so good.
Yeah. It always just looks so much better than when I.
We determined neither of them slept that much.
Right.
Samantha starts talking kind of dirty.
And she's in like a scene from an old Hollywood film with that antique phone.
And Carrie has the funny line about,
if you keep talking like that, I'm going to have to charge you by the minute.
And also, I was sitting there thinking, like, I would need something more than just like rolling over within 5 minutes to get on the phone and just tell someone all of that information. I mean, I need a therapist first, maybe some, I don't know.
She does reference that first of all, needing your morning Marlboro Lights.
Yeah.
I'm not into smoking. I know that needing a morning Marlboro Light is a thing.
Yeah, and I think it's also just even in that moment establishing part of what Carrie does.
Right. She then also pulls out Merit's.
Oh, I didn't. For not being a smoker, you're very.
Yeah, those weren't really Marlboro Lights.
Yeah, I don't. she needed, yeah, her morning cigarette. And I'm surprised that she smokes in her room, but I guess she smokes everywhere.
She smokes everywhere. This is our friend Annabelle and I have this conversation about what her apartment must smell like.
Yeah. But I don't think it smells bad. I wanted to wake up in that room. Yeah, it looked very nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. And where's the ashtray? I'm worried about a fire.
Yeah. And then Samantha's going through her previous night's sexual escapades.
Mm-hmm. We did it with him on top, me on top, me on my side.
Him on his side?
Oh, God, yes.
Him on his side. I mean, she would have to be on her side, too.
Right.
But
do we want to wonder what's happening in that moment?
Yeah, I don't know if there's like some reverse action happening or like role reversal. I don't know. Or
he
maybe
seems
it was
to be enjoying himself.
Yeah, so maybe it's nothing. Maybe we're overthinking it. You know, maybe that's the part where they're just cuddling.
Yeah, maybe with that look on his face.
Spooning.
Men in their 20s are up for anything.
Yeah, and are men in their 20s the new designer drug?
And there's our question.
There it is.
There, we got it. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, move over Molly and Special K.
But I guess that's what brings us back. I guess that's what prompts the title.
Right.
That were the Valley of the Dolls reference is that our men in their 20s. There you go.
Thank you.
Our men in their 20s.
The new designer drug.
And I guess we're specifically referencing women in their
30s. Right.
Like four women in their 30s or maybe older. And it's funny, a few episodes back you mentioned Samantha being the cougar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, cougar wasn't a thing.
Right.
When this series came out. That's a more recent term to be used. But yeah, I guess what this conversation would be is I have nothing against men in their 20s. I can't imagine dating a man in his 20s.
I could be wrong. I don't know. Are all of these women the same age?
No.
Did I miss that in the series?
I think we will establish this more as we go along, simply that Samantha is the older.
Right, because I've gotten this idea that like Samantha's... And then back to the smoking, while Carrie's asking this question, she's smoking at her computer with the window closed. At least crack the window.
Come on.
And then the big moment happens.
Oh, finally.
She says...
But I couldn't help but wonder, what do they see in us?
And I just like sat there in my apartment when she said that, and it all makes sense.
I should start a podcast based on that.
Yeah, I should be like, Mike wasn't lying to me. He makes me watch this whole thing and they never say it.
I will say, four episodes in, I was getting a little bit nervous.
Right.
And we have the people on the street, the montage.
Of people at that basketball court.
All saying the various reasons why they like older women. I do like the first guy's job is he's a bass player / dog walker. That's a really good 20-something job.
It is, but I don't know if you'd make necessarily enough money.
I think that we're establishing most of these guys do not make enough money.
Except for Skipper.
Skipper's doing great.
He's got that phone.
He's got that phone. But he's in, you know, yeah, he's into computers. And then
also
like the
all those people
analyst.
Hanging out together was
yeah,
kind of interesting
that is a strange,
to me.
That is
like
a
Skipper playing basketball. We get Fred King, who I have a lot of issues with.
Is he the one that says
Fred King is 17?
He's not
actually 17. I did research to try to figure out how old this actor was because he did not look 17.
Well, no,
me.
But they never do.
I know, but I don't know.
We've been a little bit ruined by like 90210.
Yeah, I was just really taken aback by his comment that Fred King just says.
Two words, smart pussy.
Okay. I'm not saying those words out loud.
Yeah.
Did you find that, you found
a lady
that more
present.
Disturbing than the guy who said.
They remind me of my mom.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not like disturbed in a sense that I'm offended. I just don't like that word for some reason. There's a lot of other words that I would prefer.
Elise does not like the word smart.
I do not like
don't
the word woman
it.
Smart in the same sense. No, I don't know. It was just, he's 17.
So I love that. So that basketball court has been featured. I'd love to know how many movies and TV shows that basketball court has been featured. This is in front of the Waverly. This is right at the West 4th train station.
Oh, I know exactly
and
where that is.
And now it's the IFC Center is what
yeah,
that movie theater is
right by
is
the
called.
McDonald's.
Exactly. I love that. Yeah, that little area is great. I love that it was still the Waverly then.
I guess I wasn't even paying attention when I was watching it that much.
Yeah, I've seen. It's a great movie theater and a great area there. Right at West 4th. And I feel like that basketball court's been used in so many things. And then we get to the next sort of wondering as we have Carrie and Miranda on their walk, where they're asking, like, why are there no guys in their 30s? Like, why are there no great guys in their 30s? Which I suppose kind of harkens back to the first episode of why are there no great guys.
Right, and Miranda's nailing it as an Annie Lennox costumed lady. I love that outfit, but I was like, Aunt, you look very, like, Eurythmics here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're developing her style, which has a lot to do with suits.
I think maybe I'm a Miranda then.
Maybe.
I love like a sassy blazer.
But like powerful. Like she looks great.
What, she looks, I don't look good in a blazer?
You look terrific.
I'm done.
They don't call
me Elise Murphy Browncastle for nothing.
But I think it's an interesting question. I mean, so I'm not in my 30s anymore, but I do think that I know a lady never tells. I'm no lady.
Yeah, I think it's
Well, do you think that people? I feel like most guys in their 30s have gotten married. Is there just
no? I just
or have
don't,
decided they don't want to be in a relationship.
Or because I don't think that's an issue. I think there's also though I'm talking in the from the experience of someone who is like. Online dating is a thing, so you just see everything, right? You see every person of every age, because I'm like, I don't think there's a shortage of any single people. But at this time, I would say it's more that maybe men in their 30s are not going out to these same clubs, are not as apt to run up to someone on a street and be like, oh, you're hot, can I have your number? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, maybe it's that they're not, or maybe it is that they've all settled down and I just have false hopes.
So then we have a scene at Banana Republic.
And also, sorry, once again, if there were tons of single men in their 30s in the Sex and the City world, we wouldn't have 7 seasons of them together.
Looking for?
Love.
Okay. We have to have the conflict.
Yeah, Mike, you cannot write TV shows. They would be over in 20 minutes.
No, they would. I've always said that. It'd be like, there'd be like a little bit of conflict, and then one of the characters would be like, you guys, let's just talk about this. And then they'd figure it out. It'd be fine.
That's called therapy. All right, so my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, Banana Republic.
Banana Republic, where they're immediately kind of given us this idea because she's taking Sam shopping there, right? So she's taking Sam shopping there. So they're letting us know this is a mature place to be because she's taking him there.
Well, come on.
It's Banana Republic.
And it's not the Gap.
Please. This isn't the Gap.
They bring that up because Carrie and Sam are making out in the dressing room of Banana Republic.
Right. But I notice he doesn't stop them.
No.
The sales guy is like, sort of scolds them, but then he does shut the door and walk out.
Well, he doesn't care. Yeah. He's, you know, he's not making that much money. He's probably working there for the discount.
We get a good view of Carrie's walk-in closet.
Yeah. Why? I thought there was this whole thing about, I remember people always talking about Carrie Bradshaw keeping her sweaters in the oven. Why does she need to do that if she's got a big closet?
It is kind of, that's a good point.
Also, I'm always worried about like leaving things on. That would not fly at my house.
Are you keeping sweaters in the oven?
Yeah, no, acrylic up in flames. Polyester blend, very
you just
flammable.
Like melt in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has that huge closet. It's pretty amazing. And then we get the call from Charlotte.
Right. Which I wanted to say that Banana Republic part was, but this part was just amazing, where this man that she is seeing, what was his name? I don't remember.
His name is Brian?
Brian, yes. Brian says to her, I want us to have anal sex.
Yeah.
That is the most cordial invitation that I have ever.
Manners.
Manners. I guess he does have manners. But I'm thinking like, good evening, sir or madam. Like the parents of Mike Jensen and Elise Castle have invited you to attend.
Up the butt.
No.
Oh.
Anal sex.
Anal sex. we have a cab ride. So we're going to go pick up Miranda on 62nd and Madison.
Oh, here goes Mike with the details.
Weren't we just told that it was a scene below 14th Street when she was buying cat food?
Oh.
That's fine. We're establishing the world. We're still getting there. Just another little thing about
Maybe she hopped in a cab and went home real quick.
Maybe. They have the best cat food.
Yeah. It's the only place she'll go.
So we went from Carrie's apartment, which is in the 70s on the Upper East Side, to Charlotte's, which is Upper West Side.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
No, to Miranda's, which is Upper East Side.
But I guess you would have to get Charlotte before you got Miranda, because you can't be like, hey, Miranda, I'm picking you up. Why? You'll see in a minute. Charlotte's got to tell us about butt stuff.
Let's not talk for a minute.
Yeah, we're not.
So that's fine.
And then the cab driver is just kind of like not paying attention, but... And have you had this experience where you're in a cab and you're like, they're really hearing a lot right now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but that was the whole taxi cab confession thing.
Right.
Where, like, you can only imagine what cab drivers... I did get concerned that he wasn't paying attention to the road.
No. Well, that's when he says they can't smoke in the cab.
Yeah, which she doesn't...
No.
Sir, we're talking up the butt. A cigarette is in order.
Which is something that I kind of want on a t-shirt.
There are a lot of quotes. I mean, a hole is a hole.
Yeah.
And then I like when we established that Charlotte went to Smith, which is just, that's her way of saying that.
Like, she wouldn't know about butt sex.
I really
it
like
wasn't
it.
Wasn't on her application for school.
So we have the cab that, like, I don't know, like, the brakes go on and it's a preview. There's a, I mean, that cab ride is, you can just watch that cab ride and it's
right,
like
there's a lot happening.
Quotes and fun
and
moments.
All four of them are in the back seat, right?
Yes.
So they didn't make one of them move to the front.
No. It's a very, well, they're also probably all tiny.
Yeah.
But yeah, four in the back seat. That's a euphemism.
Not legal.
Not legal. Yeah, that's a great scene with the four of them in the back seat. Though I remember laughing out loud the first time that I watched this scene.
You're really into it.
I was really into it. I thought it was really, really funny.
And then we are at the dinner, or what Carrie doesn't know is a date thing or a drink thing.
This scene is kind of infuriating to me.
Is it because Big's friend is in a turtleneck?
That's just one reason. So we meet Mr. Marvelous. Which is
gross.
Yeah, his slang, his made up name.
Okay.
Who is just going through his second divorce. And Mr. Big says that he called crying. I have a hard time believing this person has any actual emotional capacity whatsoever.
I don't know. He's in that dramatic turtleneck.
I guess so. And he in the same breath as
going through my second divorce, bitch is getting everything the first bitch didn't.
Yeah.
Then like sees a girl and says,
look at that beautiful woman. I'm going to go ask her to join us for dinner.
Well, he's gross.
He's awful. He's so awful.
But awful people can still cry.
That's true. I cry all the time.
Yeah. I mean, still, just because you're awful doesn't mean that you don't have emotions.
Yeah. He's just terrible, though.
No, I don't like him. Not a fan.
Mr. Big has that moment where he says, like, do you forgive me to Carrie, which actually feels sort of intimate, which makes me kind of mad.
Yeah, they haven't really even talked.
No, and it's like, do you forgive me? I don't know. It just kind of bothers me.
And then she buys them a round of drinks, which I rewound this because I was trying to see how much money she gives to like place the time on it, because a round of drinks at a place that looked like that nowadays, the glasses of whatever they're drinking would probably be like $15
each. Oh, yeah,
each.
Yeah, yeah. So a round of drinks now would be close to like 40 if you want to like include a tip.
Tip, yeah. And she hands one bill, and I know it's not a 50.
I think it's a 20. She says that it's a 20. Maybe that long ago that would have covered...
two drinks and a tip.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'm not sure she's concerned about covering. It's just the thought that counts.
Right.
But that was her cab
she
fare.
She wanted to throw some money down. Well, first of all, she tells him to have a gentleman's night and includes... I meant to actually look this up, but says they should shoot bear.
Why don't you two have a guy's night? You know, talk, cry, shoot bear.
Is that like shoot the shit?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Maybe she just means like guy's night, like joking, like do guy things, like, I don't know, drink, go camping,
it's interesting.
Shoot a deer. I think she literally means shoot bear.
Okay.
Like as something that men would do.
Interesting. Okay. And then she walks 48 blocks.
Right, because she left her cab fare on the table, which, once again, we wouldn't happen
now.
You could use your credit card, Apple Pay.
But I mean, that's fairly recent that you can use a card in a cab. And there was a lot of pushback, I feel, at first.
I feel for the past, since I've lived in New York, which has been 9 years, I feel like I have been able to use a card. Some of them, when I first moved, I believe, would still tell you cash only. And I remember always feeling weird paying with the card. But
I know everyone pays.
Everyone, yeah, you can do the card right away. And which brings up the whole shoe thing in New York, too, which is she talks about walking 48 blocks in $400 shoes. Mm-hmm. And that's real. There's so, I mean, all my shoes are beat to shit, all of them. But the same thing you always have to think as a woman or man when you're putting on any shoe, whether it's a heel, whether it's just like a dress shoe or anything, how much walking you're going to be doing.
There's a lot of walking in New York.
A lot of walking in New York. And you don't want to wear like a flip-flop in the city. Mike has a huge issue with sandals in the city. That'll be our next podcast.
Sandals in the city. To be clear, just with guys.
Oh, I guess he's sexist.
I am incredibly sexist when it comes.
Is it because they don't take as good care of their feet?
Just put on a shoe.
Okay. All right. All right. We're done.
That's fine. Moving on.
Moving on.
Charlotte's conflict. Oh, wait. Should we get there already?
I think so, because she's just walking, and she doesn't talk about
She goes and sees Sam to get her fix.
Yeah, and they immediately just start, like, sucking face.
Right. And it's not enough.
It's not enough for her.
And then we have... Charlotte has her sort of resolution of her conflict with the perfect guy, where she says she can't.
Can we just maybe do... Yeah, and he's, you know, she can't do it. And is this when they decide that they're not going to do it?
Oh, yeah. And he says, can we just do it the regular way?
Yeah. And I have written down that Charlotte says, whoever heard of Mrs. Up the Butt.
I feel like that should be a pageant at this point.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's my stage name. I'm done. I'm. Thank you, Sex and the City, for...
So now you've heard of that particular person.
Right. So now this podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, hosted by Mike Jensen and Mrs. Up the Butt.
Oh, I'm really excited for your mom to
Thank
listen
you.
To this.
Oh, she's going to laugh.
And then we have Sam in bed with John. Samantha, Whoa. Sorry.
Okay,
Samantha
I was going to say.
In bed with John. I would watch that scene. Samantha in bed with John, where he makes the comment about...
You know?
Yeah.
When you lay like that, you have the cutest little wrinkles in your neck.
Which I thought he was going to talk about her boobs, because the way the camera angle is, but then he goes on to say the wrinkles in her neck. So that was another thing where it's like, oh, Samantha's a little bit older.
Yeah. And also, I guess that's something that a 20-something guy would say. Not knowing that that's not going to
Because I'm
well.
Sorry, like, Samantha looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And then Carrie wakes up at Sam's.
So this is great. I love this scene also. I love this episode. I think this is like maybe the first like great episode of Sex and the City for me, where it like really feels like they've found their groove. I love that we have the scene in his apartment at night where things look great unless you look real closely and there is a clue in the background where you can just, there's a bottle of hot sauce.
I was so excited that you noticed. I love hot sauce.
Me too.
I love hot sauce. Everyone who knows me knows that.
Uh-huh.
So I was watching this and it was that moment. I go, oh my gosh, there is a bottle of hot sauce behind the bed.
A bottle of hot sauce behind his bed, which is a little bit of a clue that things aren't going to be great when morning
know.
Comes.
My room's pretty clean, and there might be a bottle of hot sauce. No, there isn't. I don't like to eat in my bedroom. I don't do
that anymore. I can tell a story someday of waking up with both Pops cereal and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Ooh, mixed together?
Mixed together in my bed and having a moment of what happened.
I mean, I have plenty of moments
delicious.
Of what happened. They just don't involve eating.
I feel like there's a lot of Beck on the walls.
There's a lot of Beck. There's a lot of Entenmann's boxes.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's so gross.
A lot. I mean, what, Entenmann's?
No, they are apartment. Say, that, we go into the kitchen and
those fruit
just,
pies are everything.
Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah, and it's also when she talks about the coffee, I'm surprised she wants to stay.
Right.
I would just grab my shoes and be like, out. I'll grab a coffee from a cart.
So he's talking about this dream that he had.
My father and my ex-girlfriend were like dead or something.
Get thee to therapy.
Yeah, they're dead, but it's also, this is the most I've heard him say anything.
Yeah.
And
he's very active in the morning.
We
have the like making coffee with toilet
paper. Which I've done with paper towel.
Okay.
And when you're out of coffee filters, I have used
a paper towel
as a coffee filter.
I find
filter.
It very disturbing.
Well, also, she is in the bathroom and she's like, there's no toilet paper. I live with two men. And that is true because, you know, as a man, like, it's not as urgent for you to grab that roll of toilet paper because the next time you go, you might not need to use it.
Sure. I don't know. It's a personal thing of mine that if you go into my bathroom, there are like always.
Right. And usually there is too. And
like,
both my roommates
really like to have backups.
Right. And both my roommates are extremely courteous. So this is something that only happens like at 2 a.m. when you're probably half asleep and you're not thinking about like replacing it. But I've had that moment. And I was trying to read some of the things that are written on the walls of the bathroom.
There's graffiti on the walls.
It's very... I was trying to read some of them and wondering about that. And then that roommate that comes out. And that wig.
So good, though. You think that was a wig?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it looked to me like a Marsha Brady wig. And he comes out, and it was just so... That moment was really outrageous for me. Like,
he's just
so unbelievable.
Well cast. Oh, see, I think he's so well... I mean, I guess unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the best way. Like, he's so well cast as, like, the weird roommate walks strangely.
And... He looked like one of the twins from The Shining coming out of the room with that hair and that underwear. And...
Yeah, we have the nightmare of the next day in the 20-something apartment. Like to an extreme, definitely. But I really enjoyed it. So she walks down the street and chances upon Mr. Marvelous. And I do wonder if he's with the woman that he met at the restaurant the night before.
He could be. And one thing I noticed on her walk to seeing them, she has a Barney's bag.
Oh, yeah. She stopped off.
And bought shoes.
And charged a credit card, I'm guessing.
Right. And I know about the Manola Blahnik craze. Because my best friend Jenny, when I was in elementary school and middle school and high school, was obsessed with the show. So shout out to Jenny if you're listening. And she always used to talk to me about Sex and the City and Manola Blahnik. And we used to go to the expensive mall and she would just try on the Manola Blahniks. And so I know about that. I know about the shoe thing. So I'm wondering if this will... Like our first intro to Carrie buys things when she's unhappy.
Yes.
So Carrie. Maybe I'm a Carrie.
But do you buy $400 things when you're unhappy?
No. If you know me, you know I love a bargain. I love a sale. I'm a Maxinista.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've ever spent more than like $40 on a shoe before.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I will buy a good shoe. I think.
See, I don't. I'm so cheap. So we chance upon Mr. Marvelous with his date. Mm-hmm. And then we reveal that Mr. Big is fixing the table. So here is...
He needs a wobble wedge.
He needs a wobble wedge. This is a positive moment of Mr. Big. I do like that he didn't call the waiter over.
Right.
He just got down there. He's going to fix it himself.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. He's probably using a...
Matchbook.
Something like that.
They still gave those out in restaurants.
But I like that he's doing it on his own. She happens to... It's a TV moment where she happens to solve a problem on his crossword puzzle to bring together.
Hinge.
So she solves a little thing and then walks away. And there's the thing about, where he says, are we going to go out again? I don't know if he says, give me a second chance.
Now that I've got Jack hooked up on sale again, maybe we could have dinner sometime?
I don't know. I'm good at crossword puzzles. I'm just not so good at people puzzles.
Walks away, but like
walks
looks
away,
back.
Looks back.
Damn. It would have been so cool if I hadn't looked back.
This obviously is on purpose, but I love how her like voiceover, damn, matches her mouth saying damn.
Okay.
That's really good. I like that moment. Also, did we get through this episode without her ever talking to the camera?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think that she does in this episode.
I don't think she does. Other people do.
Other people do. We still have the interviews on the street.
Mm-hmm.
But we may be moving away. I'm not saying she never does it again, but I think that her talking to the camera becomes less and less of a thing.
And she says maybe
all men are drug. Sometimes they bring you down. And sometimes, like now, they get you so high.
I mean, can't anything be a drug?
Anything. I mean, I can't just have one...
Man.
I mean, I can't. Yeah, I'm not someone that's really good with moderation of any sort.
Oh, yeah, no. I feel that.
You know.
That's why I don't buy the candy. I loved this episode.
I actually really did, too. And I liked how it just still amazes me how much they're able to just, like, kind of cram in. And I don't know if this was the intention, but you can see as they're writing this and filming it and everything that they're making it somewhat iconic. Like, people are going to quote this. It's almost like they had this room of, this writer's room where everyone was like, how can we make this, like, it?
Yeah.
You know?
It feels like Sex and the City becoming Sex and the City. Like,
right.
Becoming the show that it's going to be.
I think it's doing exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And watching it, living in the city, I'm still thoroughly entertained.
Yeah.
And I still think I might be a skipper. I was on a basketball team in middle school.
All right.
All right.
Well, that was fun. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Make sure to like us and subscribe to us and tell your friends and tell us we look pretty.
Yeah, share. Just give us a share on Facebook or whatever platform you're using. Or, let your friends know that you're enjoying it and come back and join us again next week.
Do, 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 do.
Don't sing the song. Don't sing the song.
Do, 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 boom. Boom.
This episode went a little bit longer than I planned on, but even with that, there were a couple of pieces that I had to take out that I just didn't want to lose altogether, so make sure you listen after the credits for those. So a few things have changed since we recorded this. We do have a few reviews on Apple, which is so great. Thanks a ton and keep them coming. Give us a rating too. We got our first 1-star rating, which I think means we've really arrived. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone. Put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, take care of yourself and let's take care of each other. Join us next week for the power of female sex. See you then.
I worked at the Gap when I was 16 years old, and I thought I was the coolest person in the world. I thought I was so much better than my friends. My friend Keith and I both work there. He even said to me once, like, Elise, we don't know how good we have it. This is a very prestigious place to work.
Gap was it. Like, that's where where you wanted to work.
Yeah.
I was busy working at the movie theater, so.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been friends.
I had a friend that worked at Gap.
Well.
Also, this is so dumb, but, like, I was taught to not say the Gap.
Oh.
So even now when I talk about it, I tend to just call, because it's just called Gap.
I guess.
You don't go to the McDonald's.
Well, no, I don't, because I'm on Weight Watchers right now, Mike. Thanks for bringing that up.
But you're not on the Weight Watchers.
It's haunting me. Every bit of it is haunting me.
The day that salami. I allowed myself to buy gluten-free ginger snaps at Trader Joe's.
How was that?
I ate the whole bag on the train ride home.
One of my favorite moments of myself, and this is actually Sex and the City related because it involves Magnolia Cupcakes.
Uh-huh.
I was working an event where they had given the guests Magnolia cupcakes. And at the end, the person running the event was like, you guys can take these. We're all leaving. I don't want them in my house. I'm going to eat them all. And I was like, okay. So I had this really great idea for taking like 4 of them home and eating them individually. You can edit this all out. I have no shame. But of taking them home and like having them as like treats. I ate all 4 of those in 10 hours. 8 of which I was sleeping. So that involves like waking up and thinking about them.
One of my best friends lived in the same building as me, and they were out of town, and I had keys to their apartment, and I knew they had this like white chocolate cherry ice cream in their freezer.
It's white chocolate raspberry truffle Häagen-Dazs.
There we go. Yeah. That's the stuff right there.
Yeah.
And I like laid in bed with my, like, I was like jonesing. Now, for the record, I live in New York City. There's like a 24-hour bodega outside my front door.
And also, this
I can
is
buy
theft,
ice
Mike.
Cream. She wouldn't have cared.
Okay. Do you want to make an apology?
She knows. I didn't need it. I didn't
okay.
do it.
Oh,
I
you just
my
knew
urges.
It was there.
No, I just knew it was there and was like obsessed with the idea of like getting out of bed and going to this ice cream. The ice cream is calling to me.
Yeah.